Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams, including the Pacers, right here. My name is Tom Lewis from IndyCornrows.com, always here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Pacers. And tonight we are digging in to recap the Pacers' dismal loss down in Miami, as the Pacers came up impotent in the fourth quarter, scoring only 10 points and losing to the Heat, 95-89. Frustrating loss for sure. A step back, no doubt, after two quality wins. But it wasn't all on the Pacers. Got to give the Heat credit for their ability to defend and make the Pacers uncomfortable down at the American Airlines Arena. We'll also dig into some injury issues as Rodney Stuckey left the game early, as well as take a early peek at the NBA collective bargaining agreement, which is reportedly finished, and there will be labor peace for what appears to be 6 or 7 years at least. So that is good news, and also includes a provision which may impact Paul George. So we'll touch on that. But first, we got to hit on the Pacers and Heat. So before we get into that, make sure you reach out with any comments or your observations on the game via email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. Now, I did receive plenty of tweets after this game because, you know, I expressed the fact that I felt this was a step back for the Pacers. Nate McMillan often talks about wanting to keep going forward and not taking those steps back. And after the performance they had at home in the two games with the wins over Portland and Charlotte, where they performed pretty well on both ends of the floor and seemed to be really coming together, the effort tonight, the eyeball test, whatever you want to call it, didn't show up. They were back playing poorly on the road, which has been a problem all season. And while they were able to get plenty of good stops, especially in the second half, they got more than enough stops to win this game on the defensive end, but just could not execute. Some ill-advised shots down the stretch, a few three-pointers, I know. Miles Turner took a three-pointer in the corner, which when he shot it, I thought, great, because usually when he shoots that, it goes in. But in this case, it bounced. And, you know, after the game, Nate McMillan mentioned that, you know, that obviously wasn't the intention on that play, on that possession coming out of the timeout. But the shot was there, and he took it. But, again, another shot, Paul George was trying to heat up, trying to come down the stretch and make things happen. And he pulled up from about 5 feet behind the three-point line on a quick shot that bounced. And that was when he kind of felt like, ooh, they just aren't going to have it tonight. So up until that point, really up until about midway through the fourth quarter, it felt like one of those games that while the Pacers were struggling, they were going to eventually come together and pull it out. And really felt that way at the start of the third quarter. Paul George came out strong. He had 11 points in the third, but really got them going, gave the Pacers a lead. We got up to 7 points, and it seemed like they were going to get that rhythm and going to get together what they needed to get this win done on the road. It wasn't going to be easy, but they were going to get it out. Just had that feeling the whole game, even the first half when they weren't playing real well. They were hanging around, and you knew something would click and they'd get going, and it just never happened. Frustrating game for sure. Paul George, you know, had 20 points at the end of the third quarter, only had two in the fourth quarter. As I said, down the stretch, he tried to get going, but just couldn't. And again, you got to credit Miami. They were physical. They pounded the Pacers on the boards big time. Early and often, Hassan Whiteside had a big game with 26 points and 22 rebounds, had six offensive rebounds, and it really seemed like he had 16. It seemed like he was grabbing them, putting them back all night. But just the fact that, you know, every time you do that, it's like 4 points almost, because, you know, you're not going the other way. And then when they get the bucket, it's just a disheartening play. So the fact that he was able to do that and hurt the Pacers so bad on the boards was critical for the Heat winning. They out-rebounded the Pacers overall on the night, 58-38. So a big dominant spot there. Those are, you know, stats that early in the season when they're losing games, and we look at rebounds, turnovers, free throws allowed, all those things. Rebounds were such a big factor in the favor of the Heat tonight that it did the Pacers no good. Turnovers weren't as bad. Pacers only had 9, while the Heat had 15. But Miami was just more physical and quicker to the ball and all of that stuff. And also got a few favorable calls. There was a block in the second half, fourth quarter, that Miles Turner had that went unchallenged because it was so early in the early in the game. But it was called a goaltend. It looked clean, and that was kind of a little turning point. A few other calls here and there went against the Pacers. But all in all, you know, you get kind of what you deserve. And the way they played tonight was, you know, what they deserved. They took that L. And again, I had a lot of tweets saying, you know, maybe being too harsh on the Pacers, calling it a step back, and mentioning how Miami's actually not as bad as a record. And I agree with that to a certain extent. But, you know, if you watch the game at all, you know it was there for the taking. And the Pacers just had multiple opportunities, couldn't cash in. And a lot of that had to do with their own execution, communication, all those little things that go into winning that they were doing so well at home. They just didn't take it on the road. So to me, that's a step back. Anyway, you slice it. Again, it doesn't really matter what the opponent does. It is what you do, how you are playing. So they may go into New Orleans tomorrow night, play a great game, have the ball moving, and not win. But if they're playing well, they're playing well. But again, I think if they do play like that, they will win in New Orleans. And now that game becomes a key one on the schedule. As Pacers drop back to 500, they're going to have a tough game at Detroit on Saturday. So they want to come home with a win against the Pelicans, which might help propel them into Detroit for the showdown with the Pistons. Now, looking again at some of the numbers, again, I said Paul George had 22 points, 20 in the third quarter, only 2. Down the stretch, C.J. Miles had 15 points off the bench, and Rodney Stuckey had 10, but Stuckey had to leave the game early with a hamstring and was unable to finish. So when the Heat played small with Johnson and Dragic down the stretch, the Pacers went with Aaron Brooks off the bench because there's no Stuckey, no Monte. And so they had Brooks and Jeff Teague playing together. And Brooks had made a couple of shots earlier in the fourth quarter trying to get something going. So I think McMillan felt a little more comfortable with that matchup and riding Brooks down the stretch. In hindsight, you know, what would Glenn Robinson done? We won't find out. But it wouldn't have probably altered that offense much at all, unfortunately. And they, again, got more than enough stops to get this game done. So frustrating all around. And, you know, after the game, McMillan just talked about how the Heat muscled up the Pacers and made it tough, and they weren't able to combat it, and talked about how they struggled to knock down open looks during the game, and then down the stretch just, again, made bad decisions with their shot selection and rushed things a bit, trying to almost look like they were trying to score some 4 or 5 point shots when really they just needed two. There was a stretch midway through the fourth quarter that was just maddening because they kept getting the ball out and just were not able to cash in the stops at the other end. So it was ugly on all fronts. So as I mentioned, Stuckey with the hamstring injury didn't return, considering there's a game tomorrow night in New Orleans. I'm assuming he's going to be questionable, but this time, unlike as he was heading down to Miami, where it seemed like that knee contusion was going to be okay and he was practicing on it, the team might be a little more cautious with the hammy and want to keep him out. I'd be actually surprised if he plays, which is a problem because now you're going to miss Monte Ellis. I know a lot of people think Monte is a big problem, but you know, you're going to miss him. There's a gap in the lineup for a guy that can get some buckets. And without Stuckey, without Monte, again, the Pacers were stuck using Aaron Brooks for heavy minutes in the second half. They're going to have to lean on Robinson some more as well. Maybe also C.J. Miles. We'll see how they match up with the Pelicans. And may also have to get either Joe Young or George Niang involved. As we mentioned, heading into the Heat game, one of those guys may be available. So, and yes, George Niang is back from Fort Wayne. Rakeem Christmas left today to head back to Fort Wayne for another assignment with the Mad Ants. And that is one thing as we move on now. Enough about this frustrating game as we move on to some bigger news in the big picture of the NBA today. Adrian Wojnarowski reported during the Pacers game that the players and the NBA had agreed to a new collective bargaining agreement, which will take them out at least 6 years, it sounds like, according to the early reports. And it also includes language about adding a couple of spots on a roster for D-League contracts. So it could get up to 17 players, and you would think, you know, two or three guys will be playing the bulk of the season in the D-League, but they will have a better contract and be tied closer to the Pacers. I would think this year, if they had that in place, a guy like Alex Poitras, who is playing the full season with the Mad Ants, would be a candidate for that type of a extra roster spot that the CBA is creating. Maybe Julian Stone as well, guy who showed up well in the preseason with the Pacers and has done well with the Mad Ants. So those type of players may get an extra look and create a better financial situation for those types of players to keep them in the D-League and try to avoid having them go overseas to play, which will obviously bolster the D-League as well, but make it more of a minor league and have guys tied closer to the NBA club. So that's a cool thing. The other big news, though, from that CBA, as reported by Wojnarowski, is that certain players that reach certain standards as far as, you know, All-NBA, something like that. I'm sure there's going to be a list that we'll have at some point about what the criteria is, but it's a designated veteran star provision, apparently, to kind of incentivize the veterans to re-sign with their own teams. So those types of players like Paul George will be able to sign a 5-year extension with a year left on the current deal. So that's an additional year over the 4 years that was previously allowed. And that also puts a big extension into play for Paul George come next summer, summer of 17. So he would have one more year on his contract, but he'd be allowed to sign that five-year extension. So that would keep him under contract, were to sign for another 6 years. So all the recent stories about Paul George's contract situation and the potential of him leaving will likely be resolved this summer, and we'll have some actual real news to report as opposed to all the fake news that has been out there about trade rumors and other rumors about Paul George that are substantiated by absolutely nothing. So, looking forward to that getting resolved, no doubt. A couple other interesting items in the CBA is the ability for older players who sign longer deals. Currently, player over 36 is not allowed to sign a five-year max contract, but now they're going to bump that up to 38. And as Woj mentions, with Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, and LeBron James on the players' committee, there's no doubt that they're looking at their future and hoping to take advantage of that as they start heading into those mid to late 30s and still playing at a pretty high level. So anyways, I'm sure we'll get more details on the CBA. As things are finalized, I believe the players' union has to vote to ratify the deal, and I think the deadline was on the 15th, December 15th, tomorrow. So they get it done in the deadline, but for all intents and purposes, this is reported as done, and the vote is a mere formality at this point. So that's good news for the Pacers and the league. One other major issue is that the split of the revenue, and more importantly, the percentages used to determine the salary cap and contracts, all that stuff will remain the same. So a lot of the capologists will surely be able to start getting some numbers, and so a lot of the capologists can maintain their formulas to keep projecting what the cap will be, which will be of interest to Pacers fans as we go on through the year and, of course, into the off season. So always good to have the labor piece in the league, which is not surprising considering the monster TV deals they're working under and the health of the league. Currently, it's going to be a good era here over the next several years, and hopefully the Pacers will be a big player among the better teams in that league with Paul George and Miles Turner making a big impact and the team building around them as they hope to. So that will wrap us up for the night. The Pacers again lose to the Miami Heat on the road, 95-89. They will now head to New Orleans where they will play the Pelicans on Thursday night and hope to right things on the road once again and get back over 500. That's been their move, is to drop down to 500 and then win and go back above. So hopefully they can keep that going, at least for this game, and then start moving in the right direction once again. So again, let me know what you think about the game, CBA or anything else. Email, you can reach me at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. And as always, you can find us on audioboom.com or subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Google Play, where all the past episodes are available. So check them out. All right, that's it for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You got it.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag. But most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.